The weakest of all political demands is, give me something to vote for.
I'm occupying Wall Street because if you're not outraged, then you're not paying attention.
Of the economy.
I care deeply about what's happening to the country.
People are losing their homes. I'm unemployed. I'm homeless.
My retirement literally embezzled.
Corporate banking behemoths rob the American people.
That ain't right, man.
Stand up and say, this is unacceptable and we're not going to take it anymore.
This country needs an enema. Well, the world needs an enema.
And welcome to another edition of Occupy Wall Street Radio. My name is Reggie Johnson, and I am the technical producer of Occupy Wall Street Radio. What we'll hear today is another report from Eve Silber about the Occupy Sandy activities, this time in the Rockaways. Let's take a listen.
I'm here at the First Congregational Church at Rockaway Beach. This is where we were sent to make a drop-off of cleaning supplies and baby stuff. Our contact's name was Rebecca, and she's right here. Rebecca, are you a member of this church?
Yes, I'm a member of the church for 7 years. I was married in this church. I'm the Sunday school teacher for 4 years. And this is my daughter, Maya. She's 14.
Yeah, you're here with your daughter. How's it been going here, Maya?
It's been good.
What are you doing here?
Just taking in the supplies, organizing them, putting them in the right place so people know where everything is.
What happened to this building, by the way, during the storm?
Yeah, we our basement completely flooded out. That's where our Sunday school is. So we lost our Sunday school. We lost our choir room, our pianos, this area, this chapel, where my reception was.
Yeah, it's a beautiful room with a stage and wooden floors, and right now it's full of things that people need.
Right.
Who are the agencies that you're working most closely with here, or is it all just kind of private people?
Occupy has been here. I think they started us off. They gave us the knowledge and know-how, how to get ourselves started. And we pretty much have had Occupy people here every single day since we started last week. But we've had several churches come in here assisting us, and even our community, people from the community.
Clearly. What's the next step? Do you have any idea what's going to happen after?
Well,
is every day a little different?
Every day is kind of a little different, but we are planning to be more organized. We have a company coming in with like industrial shelving, so we can become like a BJ's or Costco. People can come in, see things in bulk.
Give us your address just in case there's someone nearby that wants to help you guys.
We're 320 Beach 94th Street. We're in between Rockaway Freeway and Beach Channel Drive. We're the church across from the Cross Bay Bridge.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to add? Any appeal you want to make to the people listening? Has it been a good experience to work here?
Yeah, it has. It's fulfilling.
And how's your home? What's your situation like?
Our basement was flooded, but I think we're better off than a lot of people. So.
Yeah. All right. Counting your blessings here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm standing here with Jeff Fisher outside of the First Congregational Church here at Rockaway. You're a member of this community, huh?
Yes, I am. Living on 90th and Holland.
And you were just saying that you survived the storm there?
Listening to WBAI every evening and listening to that great Latino show with all the fantastic Latino artists. You listen to the radio all night on batteries.
Can you tell us what agencies you've seen? Have you had any encounters with Occupy?
It's a shame that the government didn't send out more help earlier, because the only people that helped us were volunteers bringing their own supplies that they bought over the first 4 or 5 days. Then we got a Verizon truck to make our phone calls, which was fantastic. They had about 40 booths in there. Then FEMA came out and started filling out forms for the people to get their money for what they've lost. But politically, it's a dud. But humanity, it's fantastic.
Wow.
And it's a cleansing. It'll come back stronger. And it's lovely out here.
Have you been watching the winters change? Do you have anything to say about climate change?
We're probably going to get hit with this once a year. I don't know if it'll be as nasty as this one. But this peninsula can't take too much. The infrastructure isn't that strong. So we got to hold on to it while we can. But I predict that in the next 15, 20 years, we're not going to be here any longer.
That there will be sand and
ocean. It'll just be washed away, yeah. As a person that hangs with all the surfers, the water keeps on getting higher and the climate keeps on changing, where the East Coast is getting warmer. But if we mix with a cold front like we did, this was actually a tsunami, a small one. But I don't think we're going to be able to take it too much longer.
First, I want you to tell me, where am I?
You're at the Rockaway Beach.
Beach. And what is this building? It looks like it's a gym. Have you ever been in this building before?
No, I've never been here. This is my first time here.
And what are you doing here? Do you want to describe?
We are helping people that need help in food.
Yeah, we're working at the food station and the kids.
Food station and giving the kids toys.
And you are kids yourselves. Do you live in this neighborhood?
No.
Where do you live?
We live in Harlem City.
So you came all the way from Harlem down here to help the people who got hurt by Sandy.
Yes.
Is this an Occupy Sandy station that you're in right now?
Yeah.
That's what it says on the door.
Yes.
And
Occupy Sandy.
Occupy Sandy Recovery. Mutual aid, not charity. Do you know what that means?
No.
What does that mean to you? We're here to help each other. Mutual aid means we do whatever we can for each other. So what is it that you're really good at that you're doing here? And you've been organizing the meals for the kids?
We organized this dog table, but someone came and undid it.
Oh, dear. That's the problem with organizing. Everything leans towards chaos, right?
It smells good.
That does smell good. It smells like strawberry. Now, tell me, how many days have you been working here?
One. I've been working here two.
2 days.
This is my first day.
And this is your second day.
I thought it would be so bad that I wouldn't be able to handle it.
What's happening instead to you?
Well, there are more people helping than I thought there would be.
And what is your name, by the way?
Sula.
And how old are you?
I'm 8.
And what's your name?
I'm Melina, and I'm 9 years old.
Well, you are being really helpful. Do you have any advice for people who want to help? Or for people who need help?
Just stick together and follow your dreams.
That sounds great. Did you have some advice, too?
Well, for people here right now, I suggest, no matter how late it is, they should come.
Okay. Thank you so much, ladies. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you guys volunteers?
Yeah. Okay, this is Christina.
Hi Christina.
Sure. You guys go and meet two people at those tables, buy the canned food and the
Okay. I'll see you. I'll find you there.
You're in Rockaway Park. This is Beach 100 Street, St. Camillus. This is a gymnasium. We opened this site, myself, Christine. I was a victim of the hurricane with my fiance, Miguel, and we had hooked up with Yana. It was a small little place that had just opened.
Yeah, we just came from there. We heard Diego's story of discovering Yana and that
yes.
partnership of developing.
I actually was working for like the past 10 years at the deli next door. And,
really?
Me and my fiance, we lost everything and we were just walking
so
around and we wanted to help. So we saw him and he said you could come and volunteer and we did. And then they were turning trucks away because it was a small site for clothes and stuff. So we were looking for other sites. We were just scouting around. He found one on 74th Street. And then we had found this one. I knew the priest here. And he, you know, my fiance said, why don't we try the church? And I said, good idea. And we spoke to the father and he gave us this site. So Yana said, you guys found that site, so run with it. And me and him, we just organized it. And then the volunteer has been great. We got people from Greenpeace, Occupy, Boston. Wall Street, we
yeah.
have past is coming from Colorado just to drive people around to do deliveries to homebound seniors. It's just a ton of love, people from the neighborhood.
See, we're on 100th Street,
Beach 100th Street, Rockaway Beach Boulevard.
And this is really, the conditions here are really bad. This is complete destruction. You have no electricity here, clearly.
Some people have gas, not that many, just to turn the pilots on for the stove.
Have FEMA and Red Cross been to this location, to this block?
FEMA, you know, we've been seeing FEMA more or less. Red Cross has been very distant to me. Like I haven't really seen any Red Cross. I've seen Red Cross blankets, so they must be around.
Okay. And you're working here at the center too.
Okay.
And you said you came by from
yeah,
here from Occupy Boston.
A little about FEMA.
Please.
So FEMA says to the people, one person came and said, "This is the number people can call me to reach us." Well, nobody here has electricity or cell or ability to charge. And to the people, that they should call them. Okay?
They came here and provided a phone number and little else.
A piece of paper, and they handed it out from the truck.
That's it.
So there's no ability for people to use.
And that's all you've seen of FEMA here.
Actually, the FEMA workers, it seems like they're not being treated well either. They're out here, and you see them there in their cars. Like, where are they staying? Who's taking care of the workers that are here to do the investigations? They're getting donations, and they're trying to help people on their own. The FEMA individual workers are very caring. FEMA themselves,
sure.
I feel like they just dished them out here, and I guess they feel like you're getting paid, and it's on you.
Well, one of the themes we're coming upon time and time again is that the kind of the nature of Occupy Sandy and the Occupy movement allows people to just do what's necessary, mm-hmm. and that the FEMA people may have to go through red tape in order to provide the services they're hoping to provide on the mm-hmm. ground here. You came from Occupy Boston.
First of backtrack a little, you get the irony of making a phone call. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's priceless. Second of all, I'm from Occupy Boston.
What's your name?
Rita Sebastian.
Okay.
And I was at camp from the beginning in Occupy Boston.
Excellent.
And Eric Binder's here with me. We came down a couple of days ago with a 24-footer.
Okay.
Bringing supplies from Boston. And we picked up stuff along in Connecticut, and then two of us stayed back and the other two left.
Did you use the Occupy Network and as a way to know where
Occupy
to come?
The Boston Network is interfaced with Occupy Sandy.
Okay.
And on Facebook, we have a coordination with the New England Caravan, which actually deals with all of the transport routes of posting our immediate needs and then targeting that, and then having the caravans deliver it to each of the depots that are in need of which supplies. So we have a really online ability to mobilize quickly, and that's what Occupy Boston's about. I mean, and it's that building of community that allowed Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Sandy to hit the ground running,
right?
Because that infrastructure was built up.
Right, you know what's so strange?
What's strange, Christine? Okay.
Well, not really strange. It's a good strange. It's like I was busy working when they had the Occupy Wall Street going on, and I knew what was going on, and I was like, that's great. And it seemed very political, and, you know, they were making a big point to the major companies and the big head honchos. And now it's like the people are, it's like Occupy Sandy. Now we're like showing them, okay, we occupied you. Now we're occupying ourselves. We could take care of each other. The government really did step until after the fact, and it's just like the people are taking care of the people, and it just is like
it's people power, and it's also really
just love. It's something community building, and no one's going to be the same. People that didn't speak to people before are going to conversate. People are going to say, shut the lights off when you're not using them. They're going to appreciate that hot water. It's like, it's just, everybody's changed. I changed. I'm never going to make breakfast again. I'm going to continue doing this work till the day I die now. You know, it's very rewarding. I lost my house. I lost my job. I lost everything. But the night of the hurricane, I got engaged.
Wow.
And, you know.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And just, it's from inside. It's like, we had nothing to give but what we were inside, and I created a huge site.
How does this correspond with your impression of Occupy Wall Street from...
It's just the statement that they were making. It's also kind of like a, we made a statement to you, but now, look, there's a crisis going on, and we're going to take care of each other. We're not going to beg. We're not going to scream out to you, hey, and like, there's nothing badgering going on. They made their statement with Occupy Wall Street and let them know, you know, take care of the people, and, you know, a lot of things are wrong, but it's like, now we have a crisis, and instead of running out there, where are you? Didn't we tell you something before? Everybody's just occupying each other, taking care of each other. And it's just,
right.
It's like an after effect. It's like a next movement, an involvement. First it was for politics, now it's for the people. It's more spiritual.
And that's certainly an extension of Occupy's concern that the systems that we are trusting aren't actually working.
Yes.
And until you are a severely disadvantaged person, are you made aware of that.
Yes.
That we assume when we are advantaged that the systems that are in place are doing what we don't have to do in terms of mutual aid for those who don't have. But the reality is that a lot of what we think people are getting, they're not receiving. And there is something called people power that will work, and it's not only empowering, it's humanizing. And we've spoken to a lot of people who say, I may never be the same, like you said.
It's a lot of gratitude, a lot of compassion, and you grow up, and you really just realize if everybody just helped everybody, a lot of conditions would just die on their own. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and knock the government totally, but look, the military, they've been great. Like, they were here probably assigned to do other things, and their hearts are huge, and they're taking care of us. They make us feel safe here.
Definitely.
You know, I'm not knocking it, but I just felt like they could have stepped in right away. And we
there was a lag.
And I couldn't get a bottle of water the first day after the hurricane from anywhere.
You were a thirsty fiancé.
Yes. And it was okay, but it was saddening because it's like, all right, I'll be okay. What about the kids that don't got water? People in the dark, scared to death.
What about them? How is it going?
Oh, it's good. I feel like if we didn't have these sites and people didn't come together, it'd be major chaos. And it's so much peace and so much love. And we're so happy to have a site at a church because it also gives you a good sense of peace and faith, a good energy. A lot of people are too proud to come and get what things they need from, like, street corners.
That's right.
And stuff. So they walk into a church, they feel like they're being, it's like community.
You have the sign in there that says mutual aid, not charity.
Yeah. You know, we have to survive, but people are peaceful. We had a nor'easter, they were warm, they had blankets. I'm sure they weren't that warm, but they weren't suffering the way they would have if it felt like they were left abandoned, you know.
But I want to, like, address some of the other points. First
sure.
of all, Occupy is able to mobilize quickly on the ground because of that building of community. What is it? It's about is like first phase and second phase. First phase, we won the mines, which we changed the national dialogue, talking about economic inequality.
Mm-hmm.
Second phase is winning the hearts, and that's moving beyond the borders of our camp and moving into the communities to do community building. And that puts into direct application our core message, which is economic justice, social justice, and environmental justice.
Absolutely.
And what this is environmental justice, because it's climate change
that is
creating these weather events, and this is just the beginning, and it's been happening, and everyone, all the experts are saying it. So this mobilization that Occupy is doing with Occupy New England and Occupy Caravans and all the Occupies coming together from all over the country, that network of solidarity is what is actually making this whole move between Occupy Wall Street's wedding registry that's
right.
online, that's raised over almost, what, $300,000 to the fact that each of the caravans that are coming are targeted donations for the specific needs for each of the depots. So community participatory, where the community is the experts and know what their needs are. So the other thing that Occupy is doing that's phenomenal, and there's like this saying in the development world that when there's a crisis that happens, there's a lot of donations that happen, crisis intervention on the ground, money, let's pour money at the problem, let's give blankets, and they'll step back and they'll leave. And they'll say, we did our job, aren't we good? But the point is that's not real development work. Real development work is to actually make sure that you're there for not only the immediate phase of giving the blankets and the water, but making sure people are safe to be able to go back to their homes, and then bringing in, as Occupy is doing, second phase, and that's what sustainability. We're going to make sure that the job gets done correctly.
This community, I've been here all my life. I'm not professional at anything. I'm good at cooking. But, you know, I'm leaving that all behind me. I'm going to continue to help people. But people in the community, they might have just gas in their house, no lights and everything, and they will cook a big meal and take the little gas they have in their car and go to a corner and set up and feed the people. And it's just all this, the light in everyone is just coming out. So I feel like it's like a Pokemon. They evolve. Like they change. They come in. They shed that snake skin and they grow, you know.
You're feeling like another world is possible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's already in the works. It's not really another world. I think the another world comes with just people, like, it's a spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting out of this materialistic mind. Oh, just, I change, and I just hope that happens to everybody in their own way.
Yeah, well, we change each other, and the world changes us, too.
Yeah, the new world comes with the changing of the people.
So I'm out here on Rockaway. There is a line of people standing here, and I was directed to the mayor. I asked to who would like to give an interview, and I was directed to you. What is your name?
Eddie Gale Johnson.
And you are the mayor of?
Rockaway.
Right on. Nice to meet you. And I'm standing here with a younger citizen of Rockaway. What is your name?
Jalasia Cater.
And you know the mayor here?
Yes.
And is this your first visit to this place, or have you been here before?
Well, this is my first time being on this line.
On this line? And what are you here to get right now?
Well, hoping to get some food and other stuff that's in the place.
Okay, all the things we need to stay alive. Mayor, tell us what's going on in your neighborhood.
Well, They seem to be still darkness in the Rockaways. Far Rockaway is still dark. And Beach 58th Street, they got lights now, but it's still cold down there. You have a lot of people that lost a lot of things. I was down here on the, with up further on the beach, and I mean, I have never seen this beach like this, and I've been here for over about 60 years.
It is something else.
And I was here when Hurricane Donna hit, but she didn't tear up the way Sandy did. Sandy really gave us a wake-up call. Yes.
Tell me what it is people can do for you right now. What do you think?
Right now is to keep the calm, the peace, and everybody brotherly love, because that's what we need, unity. And that's what I've been seeing all over Rockaway today, is unity. People helping each other out. Doesn't matter what color, what race, what, whatever. People are helping each other out, and that's what's important. You'll be all right. I see people coming together. I haven't seen no fighting or anything like that, although I had heard about it.
Well, they probably don't do it when you're around. Do you have anything to say you want to add to the conversation?
I do. I just want to like the second one.
When are they telling you?
They're not telling us anything.
That makes it even harder,
and
right?
You don't have, like, if you don't have the car radio, you can't hear when, you know, things are going on. I'm separated from my kids.
Where are your kids?
My kids is upstate. And I'm here.
Do they know you're okay?
Yeah, they know.
Okay.
But
so that's,
I just want the lights to come back on. I want heat. I'm cold.
Right.
I can't have my kids in the cold. So.
Tell me some of the top five items that you need right now.
I get blankets, flashlights, and batteries.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll keep the word coming, and hopefully we can get these things to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Best wishes.
Okay.
What do you have there? What did you just get? What is that?
I have a Thomas puzzle.
It's a puzzle. Do you like Thomas anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Did you think that's what you're going to find in there?
Yeah.
What else did you come here looking for?
I'm looking for some cars.
And what about the rest of your family? What do they need? Have you heard from them what they need?
No.
What are you guys needing? What did you come here for? Did you come here for a train puzzle? Batteries, flashlights?
Yes.
Blankets?
Yes.
Yep. We're going to try and keep it coming. Okay. Tomorrow there'll be more, hopefully. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
You guys coming out here and supporting us as well as much as you can. We know this cataclysmic catastrophe is not going to extinguish overnight, but we appreciate you guys' strength, and God bless. And my
Thank
name
you.
Is Zion. I'm from Fall River. Unfortunately, you know, we lost, but nobody's immune to the weather. And at the end of the day, unity is strength.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for your strength.
Thank you for your strength.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Prince just rode up to me on his bicycle.
On my bicycle. I think one thing that is very important, I was at a meeting this afternoon over there by the precinct.
Okay.
And there were vital questions that were being posed to various agency, IOPS or what have you. But one of the things that was not mentioned as far as Rockaway is concerned is that with all this now, we, the residents of Rockaway, have to take advantage of this, meaning that for those that are not employed, we have a lot of youth running around without jobs. This is an opportunity for us to have some kind of job bank set up here.
Right.
For these people that have no job, you know,
right,
this could be something for them.
I got driven out to the field by Erica and Mike. We've made our deliveries and completed our mission, and I just wanted to find out a little bit about them. Mike, this wasn't your first run out with Occupy Sandy, was it?
No, it wasn't. I went last Tuesday on Election Day and went to Jacoby Church, picked up some volunteers, and went out to Staten Island, and we helped organize one of the distribution centers there for a while, and then we brought some food and water just to the neighborhood that had been devastated there in New York. Handed it out to people, try to find out what they needed so we could report back to Occupy as organizers, you know, they could be more from there.
How did you find out about Jacoby as a hub?
I found out about it from a friend of mine who I work with, who sent an email soon after it was organized, and you know, said they're doing really great work through their organization, and it's really just show up and they'll use you the best way they can, and it really worked out.
And Erica, this was your first trip
this
out?
This is my first trip out, and I had to work on the day that Michael got to go out, so it was hard. It was hard being at work and not being able to be out helping.
What was your experience like?
No, I was really impressed. I think it was so completely organized and everyone working together and everyone having a part to do something. So that was great.
And what do you guys do in your real life?
I work as a public defender for the Legal Aid Society's Bronx office.
We've unfortunately had to need some of your coworkers.
Yes. So, I mean, we've worked closely with Occupy. We've also worked closely with our union in distributing goods and stuff to various communities that need it now as well.
How does this experience flush out your impression of Occupy or change?
I mean, it really is all about doing, right? And it's a group of everyone who's involved really wants to do something and actually make a difference. And even if you have, you know, 5 or 6 free hours in a day or during the weekend, it's like you can actually do something with that. You just have to show up and you encounter all these other people who want to do, you know, do something as well. And it's really an impressive, like,
it's a real culture and a culture of inclusion.
So
for example, Erica works in an industry that Occupy doesn't usually have a lot of representatives from.
I would say that.
But you know, we shared this experience of coming out here together.
Yeah.
Tell the people who in Manhattan or other places maybe not realize, we're all standing here a little shocked. And we are standing in the middle of devastation.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. There's rows and rows and rows of buildings that are just completely demolished and burned down to the ground. It's unreal.
Piles and piles of people's furniture and everything they had in their homes that's been destroyed, that's out now. And
we don't feel that we've been exposed to this enough, just living the normal lives we're living that weren't touched as deeply by this storm.
I think there's people who see nothing and, you know, had a bit of wind on outside their building for a couple days, and I don't think people see.
Why do you think it is that we're not getting the message of what's really happening out here?
The people who are out here certainly are some of the more, there are people who are unemployed, there are people who are not the ones who are making the news and responsible for most of the media content that goes out there.
What can we do to bring this message home? The storm has only amplified the need that's been here all along.
I mean, it's really about speaking to people, talking to people, joining together and doing what they can in some way or form. And I think it's just about speaking to each other about your experiences and talking to each other about how they can help and what they've done and getting the message out.
And keep thinking of what's not being done that we could do.
Always, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. You're going to make another run in another day or so, I think.
Too.
Yeah. Thank you for the ride. I really appreciate it. All right. See you soon.
Thank you, Eve, for that report. And that concludes another edition of Occupy Wall Street Radio. This is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and WBAI.org on the web. You can always hear this program Monday through Friday at 6:30 p.m. Follow Occupy Wall Street Radio on Twitter by going to twitter.com/OccupyWSRadio. Have a good night, folks, and see you in the streets.